This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Third hour of four getting started just after noon. Beltway Blitz time. Couple of teams jammed into a segment in an hour at one. Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. We know that Maryland has given up on trying to bring a Redskins stadium to National Harbor, at least for now. What about Virginia? Is Virginia as out as everybody thinks? We'll talk to him about that. Kyle Bearclaw of the Nationals at 1:30. Pitchers and catchers first workouts today. When he gets off the field, he's calling in to discuss the start of spring training. But let's get to your Beltway Blitz. Latest on the Skins with our beat reporter, Craig Hoffman. Craig, why don't we start with Case Keenum's likely release? Joe Flacco is going to start in Denver. If Keenum becomes available, would that be up the Redskins' alley to talk to him about a one-year, handful of million buck type deal if he'd sign it to potentially come in here as a stopgap?
Yeah, I don't think so, Grant, just because I don't know how much better he is than Colt. And so if you're going to have to pay extra for a guy that's not that much better than the stopgap that you already have, there's no real point. I think a guy like Teddy Bridgewater is a little bit different. Bridgewater's still young enough, and he's got enough upside that he could potentially be a future play as well. So you're willing to spend a little bit more and take a bigger cap hit this year on him if you feel like you're investing in something long-term. But I feel like they have their stopgap in Colt McCoy, and that any other quarterback brought in would be a draft pick for this year.
Craig, speaking of draft picks, a quarterback, here's my belief, and I want you to poke holes in it if you don't like it, or agree with me if you do. It's up to your choice. It's free country. I don't want a rookie quarterback with a guy that's in a lame duck year, which is, I think, Jay Gruden is about to go into. He's going into a year where he's set up to fail with this bloviated, aging roster with no salary cap room because of the Alex Smith deal. I don't want a rookie to go through a year with Jay Gruden and his staff and then have to, you know, learn something completely new in year two, like Jared Goff did after in the kind of post-Jeff Fisher era. If you're going to draft a rookie, Jay Gruden should have been let go from the beginning of this offseason. What are your thoughts?
No, I don't think it's a bad theory. I mean, ultimately, I think you have to make those decisions somewhat independent of each other, but also, or let me put it this way, the league has made those types of decisions somewhat independent of each other. Like, it's not abnormal that the Redskins didn't think, could Jay be gone? Because you also don't want a plan of, oh, we're definitely going to fail, and then you fire a coach that you like if they do like Jay, which they do, just because he might not have the year that you want and you're going to be drafting a rookie. They also don't know what Alex's status is, so there's just too much up in the air right now, I think, to go ahead and pull the trigger on something like that. But I do think that is ultimately a concern and, you know, could affect their thinking a little bit. And certainly I would say the biggest effect it's going to have this year is not going to be front office decision to draft someone. It's going to be with Jay and who winds up ultimately playing, which is why I still would put my money on McCoy being the day one starter, that he's going to feel like, I find it hard to believe that a rookie is going to come in and be so much better than Colt McCoy in a practice setting where Colt knows the offense, it's not really live, that Jay is going to feel comfortable trusting that person over Colt week one.
Josh Norman's future. Do you think he's on the roster in week one?
I don't still. I just think that this relationship has taken its course and it's time to go for both sides, frankly. But ultimately, I don't think it's 0% that he's here because they do need leadership in the defensive backfield and they need it badly. They're so young outside of him, especially if you don't bring back Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Could you bring back Clinton Dix and then move on from Norman? You could, but then you're keeping the worst player just for leadership, at least based off last season's performance. And really the last couple of years where Clinton Dix hasn't been the Pro Bowler that he was all the way back to 2016. So I don't think it's done, but I would still guess that ultimately the cap savings on him is going to be too much to pass up, and he's certainly not the willing to take a pay cut type of guy.
Craig, other potential casualties to make some salary cap room?
I think you're looking at more restructures. Like, you could restructure Trent Williams. You could restructure Ryan Kerrigan. And, you know, but wind up extending both of those guys at a cap number that's more friendly. I think Jordan Reed obviously is one you look at, but I think he's going to – I feel better about him staying than Norman going, to give you a confidence level in that. Could you restructure him? Sure. But in terms of straight-up cap casualty cuts, I think Norman, Zach Brown, you almost forget about that one because it's so obvious. Mason Foster's one they could potentially look at too, depending on how the draft goes.
Thank you, Craig. We appreciate the time.
You got it. See you guys.
Puck. Chris Russell covers the Caps, 106.7 The Fan. The San Jose Sharks, the opponent tonight, /Arini, in San Jose at the Shark Tank, where the Capitals never play well. 10:30 East time, puck drop. This could be a cup matchup. I mean, San Jose is legit. They're one of the best teams in the sport. What do we need to know about them?
Yeah, they just eclipsed Calgary for the best in the West, and they've won 6 in a row, 7 out of their last 10. Obviously, they've got a ton of talent. I mean, everybody knows Joe Thornton, Evander Kane, but there are many other guys. Brent Burns on the back end now. They'll catch another break here a little bit. Looks like Erik Karlsson, who they acquired over the offseason from Ottawa, who didn't play in the first matchup a couple of weeks ago in Washington, won't play again. That's not definite, but he hasn't been playing. So maybe the Caps catch a little bit of a break there. But you mentioned, Grant, the history of not playing well in the Shark Tank, long road trip, overnight trip after a bad loss in Columbus. I guess you would call it a bad loss in Columbus on Tuesday night. This doesn't set up well for the Washington Capitals.
Russell, I'm in they won the Stanley Cup last year mode, and I just don't think this group has it. Is that too early to write that epitaph?
Well, I think it's – yeah. I think you should never count this team out because they have enough talent, as they showed really over the entire Barry Trotz era, to have a bunch of bumps in the road, maybe even potholes, Danny, and then to flip the switch. And I know that's just a proverbial term, and maybe it wasn't just that easy. But, you know, in conversations that I have, you know, with players and coaches and media people around the Capitals on an everyday basis, we all kind of feel like, okay, it sucks that it's not just one problem, it's 5 or 6 problems, but they're correctable problems. And if they're incorrectable problems, then you would be really panicked. But they're correctable problems, and you'd like to think that this team still has a chance of fixing these issues and fixing these problems that, are not easy to fix, but they are correctable, and that they're capable of at least fixing a couple of them, if not all of them, such as faceoffs, not taking so many dumb penalties in the offensive zone, that type of thing.
Yeah, and not that Danny's asking me, but they're a couple points back in their division, and they're going to make the playoffs, so it's absolutely too soon to say that. Remember, you know, it was only 2 games into the playoffs. They're down 0-2, and everyone was quitting on them last year, and the Junkies were doing a segment about firing everybody and trading everybody. And next thing you know, we were having a championship parade here in Washington, D.C., so there's a little bit of time left.
And they got rings, too, out of that. How about that?
and they've got rings. That's true. By the way, they deserve rings. They've been at it for 20-plus years.
I was just adding for context. I wouldn't say they didn't deserve it.
38 goals for Alex Ovechkin this year. Jeff Skinner, 34 goals, second in the NHL. Despite Ovi's pace slowing down, he's still 4 higher than anybody else, and he's still en route, it looks like, for 50. Do you think he gets to 50 goals at 33-plus years old?
I mean, how could you not think that at this point with a month and a half, really a month and 3/4, I guess, left in the regular season? It's hard to fathom that he won't get there. I mean, I guess he did go through a 6-7 game stretch where I think he only had 1 goal, maybe where he didn't have a goal. I'd have to double check the numbers again. But it's hard to kind of fathom that he wouldn't. You know, there's going to be a chance on this road trip after tonight at Anaheim, who stinks, at the Kings, who they beat and who largely stinks. You know, to kind of maybe pile up some offense and get this offense generated. I think being at least the top line from last year's cup run, being kind of reunited with Kuznetsov and Tommy Wilson, I think will help kind of spark some things it already obviously had and has for Kuznetsov. So maybe that feeds further into Ovechkin.
Russell, thank you, buddy. Appreciate the time as
Thanks,
always.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
That is your Beltway Blitz. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. For the Win, a blog from USA Today Sports listed a free agent that every NFL team should target. Their free agent for the Redskins is a quarterback. You haven't heard many people assigning to the team. Would you have any interest? next on G&D. Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch on the show at 1. How much of Maryland pulling out of trying to get a stadium from the Redskins does he assign to what's going on between the team in Richmond and Virginia with the training camp deal? We'll get into that. But also, Kyle Bearclaw of the Nationals next hour, a little over 60 minutes from now at 1:30. Did you see the For the Win piece linking one free agent to every NFL team, Danny?
I purposely didn't click on it because I wanted to be surprised. I want you to give it to me, and I want my real, honest reaction.
All right, so we're going to get to the Redskins in a minute. I'll go through kind of the list for a second of some of the other players. But I'll just say first, you know how this works, right? You go through every single team, and they said, here's one free agent that this club should target. I think they tried to be as realistic as they could in terms of money and what it could take to get a guy. But by and large, it was based on need and availability of the players. So in the NFC East for the Dallas Cowboys, they said Golden Tate, who would come over from Philadelphia, where he's got an expiring contract. They point out that Dak Prescott needs more weapons. Cole Beasley's days with the Cowboys are likely coming to an end as one of the best slot receivers in the game. Obviously, Golden Tate could play in the slot quite a bit in addition to the outside. That would be a good fit.
It makes a lot of sense, actually. I mean, this is a guy that Detroit's offense was not the same once he was gone. Not really used in Philadelphia. Only had a couple nice moments, but really was an afterthought in their offense. Didn't have the impact I kind of thought he would. I still think that guy can play, and I think it's the right system, right sequence. That would make sense, actually.
They didn't just go for big names and shock value and bunch of clicks here. The Giants, they assigned tackle Juwan James, who would come over from the Miami Dolphins. And the Eagles, who are also in need of some help at wide receiver, they said Chris Conley, who with the Kansas City
Chiefs receiver?
Yeah, he's had a couple of good seasons in a prolific offense. Now, he gets lost in the shuffle because they've got the best tight end in the game right now in Travis Kelce. They've got a running back. Before, it was Kareem Hunt. And you know, now with basically Williams, they haven't lost anything.
The Chiefs have an endless supply of that guy. Whoever Chris Conley is, there's seven of them waiting in the wings right now. They've had seven before. They'll go somewhere and not be heard from. But that guy makes a lot of sense. Speed, explosive, et cetera.
So just a couple others that jumped out at me. John Brown, the speedy receiver from the Ravens, ends up with the Bears. They love speed. I think Matt Nagy could do some things for him. I liked this one within the division. The Green Bay Packers would go out and target Anthony Barr, the linebacker from the Vikings, keep him in the NFC North to play against his old rival.
How old is he? Is he close to 30?
He's got to be getting close.
I feel like he's been around,
I think he
man.
Was drafted about 5 years ago. I would guess he's close, maybe 28, 29. The Lions, Trey Flowers, defensive lineman, the New England Patriot Super Bowl champion.
Yep.
I liked that one. And one other I'll throw at you was the New Orleans Saints. I don't know where they'd get the money to do this, but making a play for Ndamukong Suh, who's going to leave Los Angeles, they say, and go get paid elsewhere. The Saints trying to get to the Super Bowl like the Rams did last year. One way to move ahead of L.A. in the pecking order, take one of their own.
How about that group? Sheldon Rankins, who missed some time, by the way, at the end of the season, who's
got
a really, really good player, and that hurt them. But young Marcus Davenport, and oh, by the way, Cam Jordan, who wakes up and gets 12 sacks. That's a pretty good group.
This one was fun. Thomas Davis, the longtime excellent inside linebacker with the Panthers. Seattle Seahawk. Can you picture that? Him and...
Oh, wouldn't that be perfect?
Running side by side with... You know, one of the best linebackers in the game, Bobby Wagner.
I mean, he's
just like he was with Luke Kuechly.
And he might be cheap and available. Hasn't he been hurt a couple different times over? A couple
Stays
ACLs,
hurt.
Right?
Always, always hurt. So that's a few. He had Teddy Bridgewater, if you're wondering about the quarterback class, going to the Miami Dolphins. Le'Veon Bell ending up as a target for the New York Jets. Clay Matthews with the Baltimore Ravens. So a lot of these were interesting. The Redskins, though, getting back to Washington. Tyrod Taylor.
What?
Tyrod Taylor. And his reasoning, it's not surprising, right? They need a quarterback. He's available. He's not going to be the most expensive guy on the market. Skins did not have much money to spend on a replacement for Alex Smith. While drafting his replacement makes tons of sense, the Redskins will need a cheaper bridge starter who can do a pretty good impression of Smith. Now, they do need a bridge starter, and that could be a Colt McCoy, but he can't do an Alex Smith impression. We talked about this with Case Keenum.
How they're built right now, yeah.
To me, Tyrod Taylor is a ton like Alex Smith. And it's why I'm not a Tyrod Taylor guy, and I obviously wasn't an Alex Smith guy. But it's the type of quarterback, frankly, that I don't really like. It's just I don't make any plays. You're not going to score any points. I'm never going to force a football into a small window. But I will never throw an interception.
That's
Tyrod Taylor.
Very little degrees of variance. What I mean is the ceiling incredibly low. You don't have to jump to touch it. You can duck your head and hit the ceiling.
One of my other issues with Tyrod Taylor, Danny, in addition to that low ceiling and the points you're not going to score, is always the number of throws he misses. You know, when you watch a game with the Bills or the Browns or what have you, there's always just wide open receivers missed. Now, my assessment on Alex Smith before last year was that's not who he was. He was the guy that he's not going to take shots and chances, but he's always going to make the throw and find the right guy. And he didn't do that last year.
A couple
either.
Of those throws, I still haunt me. That New Orleans game where there was a dude just so wide, I can't remember who he was throwing to, but he missed by 15 yards, turned into a pick six or whatever it was. He had a receiver wide open in the end zone and just flubbed it. Haunted me. Those terrible, terrible plays by Smith. But Taylor, to finish the thought.
Is Tyrod Taylor a downgrade from what Alex Smith was last year, though? I think he's about the same guy.
Very similar. Maybe right now at this point, more athletic. Because Smith, all of a sudden, athleticism went away. I don't know what happened.
He can run more than Alex Smith. He can elude the pocket more than Alex Smith. Again, don't take this as me saying go get Tyrod Taylor.
I'm
asking simply is, could he give you what Alex Smith did when you were 6-3 last year? And I believe the answer to that is yes.
That would be the idea, is that we are not built around the quarterback at this point. We want a guy whose floor is high. Tyrod Taylor is not going to screw you over in the sense that he's not going to make the critical mistake. He's going to screw you over in the sense that you're going to leave 20 points a game on the board. He's going to screw you in the sense that you cannot get to 30 with him unless your running back goes off.
I was going to say, you might score 17 a week. But if their plan is, we need an Alex Smith impersonator. We need 6 interceptions all year. If that's what they care about. In 16 games, we need 6 interceptions, and we can't lose more than 3 fumbles.
We just want a guy to not turn it over.
Single-digit turnovers from the quarterback position for the season. Tyrod Taylor is a good option. I haven't heard many people say his name. For me, again, I can't say this loud enough. I'd like a megaphone, and I'd like to go stand on a street corner and scream this at the top of my lungs. No. No.
How about no?
Hard pass. No, no, no. But that's not the same discussion as, what do they want? What are they looking for? What can they afford? If Tyrod Taylor is available at $8 million to be a starter this year, I would still say, no, thank you for your interest. Good luck to you. This is not what I want, but we're not asking what would I do. We're right. asking
what might
about
they do?
This team, what they'll do. They wanted Alex Smith because they said their defense was going to be great. Newsflash, it wasn't. Their running game was going to be a lot better. It was better.
It was
it
better.
It wasn't good. Certainly the second half of the year, it stunk, and a lot of that might have had to do with the offensive line. You tell me with a straight face, you can't see the Redskins saying to themselves, we were 6-3 with Alex Smith.
We need a stabilizer.
This guy could be the exact same player Smith was last year. We'll be 6-3 again. You can't see them saying that?
Of course I could. That's why I thought my bold prediction is that they were going to trade for a quarterback for that very reason. They cannot admit that they're far away. And a lot of fans don't believe it either, by the way. A lot of fans think, we were 6-3 with Smith. I'm sure it was very sustainable. Right, it took all sorts of miracles. You know, Cam Newton forgetting how to complete a pass on 4 consecutive plays. It took, you know, missed field goals and a lot of luck to be right there. You had a razor thin margin for error. It was going to come crashing down eventually. Right, you were 6-4 really with Alex Smith because you were losing that game that he got hurt in. The idea that this aging roster with no salary cap space should just go out and get another caretaker, just kick the can down the road. Don't we have 30 years of sample of that? Haven't you dealt with enough Tony Bankses? Haven't you seen enough John Freeses? Haven't you done this a million times over so that you don't talk yourself into this crap again?
For the Win is a site from USA Today. They do a good job. They wrote a piece. Every team assigned one free agent that they should target. For the Redskins, they said Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. Two-parter here, and you just heard us work our way through it. Would you want the Redskins to try to acquire Tyrod Taylor if the price was right? Yes or no? And why? 800-636-1067. Second, could you see him doing it? Absolutely not is the answer to the first question for me. And unequivocally, yes is the answer to the second question. You're listening to The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Grant. He's Danny. This is The Fan. USA Today sports blog for the win, assigning the Redskins Tyrod Taylor in a piece that was done. One player for every team in free agency. What would you make of that? 800-636-1067. Kevin's in Arlington on G&D. What's going on, man?
Hey, fellas. So this goes back to my biggest concern with the Redskins is their inability to self-scout, to have a clue, basically. I think they feel, and they've been putting it out there, Bruce has, that they can get, you know, 14 or more starts out of McCoy, that they want Josh Johnson back to back him up, and we'll see what happens in the draft. I mean, that's how delusional they are. They think they can get that many starts out of McCoy, and they think Johnson's a realistic backup. I just, you know, so to me, for them to even think about Tyrod Taylor, given that they think Alex may actually play again for them, it's just too rich for Bruce's blood. I don't see it happening.
But hold on. I think this goes to what you just said, their inability to self-scout. I mean, it's not just limited to Bruce. Remember when Vinny Serrato said,
sure.
I gave Jim Zorn a playoff roster. You didn't, Vincent. You didn't. But they can't do
absolutely.
It. They can't figure out where they actually are.
That's exactly right. They think they're close. I mean, J.P. Finley came on with Chad earlier this week, I believe, and said that he heard from his sources at Redskin Park that going into the Philly game with Colts starting, they were very bullish about still making the playoffs. It's just incredible.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me. Thanks for the call. I mean, that shouldn't surprise anybody. They've always thought more highly of themselves than the outside perspective is. Remember last year at this time, I was talking to people with the organization that were saying, you're underselling this Alex Smith deal. You're not talking enough about how much better we got. You don't understand how much of an upgrade he is from Kirk Cousins. I mean, they really believed all that. That they were sure that they'd just solved their problems. And when you asked, why do you say that? Look at his career numbers. Look what he's been. They would tell you he's a winner. He'll win the games. Now, maybe they'll still double down on that and pat themselves on the back because they were 6-4 at the time of his injury. And that game, he had thrown 2 picks, including a pick six. So people forget that when they use their quote-unquote win-loss record. But if you want to give him 6-3, I suppose you could do that too. But so you could just chalk up the rest of the year as it wouldn't have happened if he was here. What they were doing wasn't all that sustainable, and most people around the league
knew injuries
it.
Were occurring. And obviously Smith is the headliner. That's the most major one. But this was all happening. All the offensive players, all the guys that weren't producing, this was all coming to this point. Would they have won one more game? Probably. Maybe two. Are you ready to throw that parade for 8-8? I mean, it's the idea that we're one player away. It was my biggest frustration for years, regardless of management, right? The idea that all we need is that one piece. We just needed Adam Archuleta. That puts us over the top. We needed Albert Haynesworth. That puts us over the top. You could pick it. There's a million of these examples from this organization forever, and that hasn't changed. It's why each year, and I think, by the way, it's finally happened where it started to bite them, and you see a loss of fans because of it, where people are sold, we're this close, we're this close, we're this close, and they buy in and believe some of the hope, and then it gets ripped out from underneath them. And it happens enough times, you don't invest anymore. If you're lied to enough, you don't get in. You don't believe the person telling you these truths. So fans are frustrated. There's a reason they're ripping seats out of FedEx. Yeah, it's the attitude. Yeah, it's the frustration, but it's the selling each year that this one is different. This Donovan McNabb trade is different, or this quarterback is different, or this coach is different, whatever it is. It's always worked out the same because the guys at the top are the same. And now we know. We know more than we did before. We've got enough data points that says your evaluation of yourself ain't the truth. Ours is.
Going back to Tyrod Taylor, though, specifically, I don't know what people think of him at this point. I think, hopefully, he's been exposed a little bit more as a non-franchise QB to the point where a team like the Redskins wouldn't make the mistake of trying to invest in him for the next 2 or 3 years. if you're bringing him in, it's to do what the Browns did last year. To get you through the first three games of the season before Baker Mayfield takes over in game four. You know he completed less than half of his passes last season? You know
was
how
really
hard that
bad?
Is to do? That's Tim Tebow-esque, man. 49% of his passes completed last year. That's stunning. I mean, I don't even honestly know how that's possible in today's NFL. One of those games was the overtime game with the Steelers, which was a really bad weather day, if memory serves. It was kind of windy and gross. But in that game, he went 15 of 40. I don't care what the weather is. 15 of 40 is you can't have
that's it. That's ridiculous.
He then went 4 of 14 against the Jets before he got benched for Baker Mayfield a little bit later on. Or maybe that was the game he got knocked out via injury and Mayfield came in.
I can't remember which.
But he also does get hurt a lot. And he had the same number of touchdowns as picks. The one caveat, it's the same one that Alex Smith gets to have. And it's the same reason that Alex Smith will always have a job if he's healthy. And man, do I hope that guy gets healthy because I feel terrible for that leg injury. And his wife posted some pictures of them at a rehabilitation center with some wounded soldiers yesterday. And they seem like such a sweet couple, mm-hmm. such a great family. He's, by all accounts, a mensch and a great human being. And I really hope he recovers, gets back on a football field. It'll be sad if he doesn't. But the only thing he's got going for him is he's not going to turn the ball over. And that's the same thing for Tyrod Taylor. I just care less about that than other people. I think a bunch of years from now, we're going to realize it's also important to make plays.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't make any plays, it doesn't matter if you don't turn the ball over. The comp is, it's great to never strike out. It's amazing to have a baseball player that never strikes out. If you don't ever hit for any power, and you just hit a bunch of singles not striking out, you don't do me that much good. And so that's something with Tyrod Taylor and with Alex Smith, that's a comp is, there's not going to be a lot of points scored.
Sure, the turnovers matter when you don't do anything else, right? Like, if you don't turn it over, that's awesome. But you've got to give me some high end.
Andre's in Manassas.
Hey,
what's going on, brother?
No, not at the risk of sound cast. Not that I don't feel bad for Alex, but I mean, at the end of the day, he's what, 34, 30. He's gonna retire a multi-millionaire. He may not be able to play the sport he loves, but he can still be involved in football in so many different ways.
Yeah, but a crippling injury like that where you still got a machine on your leg that looks like you're a robot and you may have lost your leg, it looked like, for a little while, and you can't play with your kids, I mean, that's a sad thing.
It is. I will say this. I think Bruce Allen, you know, is right that the team has been close, but I guess the question is close to what?
Close to what?
I think my biggest frustration in this team is almost as if they want to get into playoffs. And to me, the playoffs in the NFL, it's not like the NCAA tournament or even like, you know, the NHL when an 8 seed can get in the tournament and go all the way to, you know, win the championship. In the NFL, it's you may get in, but I've never been one of those fans that just wants to make it to the playoffs to say we made the playoffs and then, you know, get exited out in the wild card game. So I think ultimately the team needs to stop saying we want to make it to the playoffs and you want to win the championship. And then if you feel a team that's not a championship level team, then just basically say that. And, you know, let's try to fill a championship to winning team, not a playoff making team.
The illusion that wild card, all you have to do is get in and you can win the Super Bowl too. I want to debunk that a little bit. I understand the desire to get in the tournament because that usually means you've accomplished something. 6 wildcard teams out of what? Did we just have Super Bowl 53? Is that what number we're on? You're basically talking about 10% in the history of Super Bowls have actually gone on to win it. Only 6 out of 53. And the teams that did it, you go to the Baltimore Ravens in 2000, the greatest defense of all time. The Steelers did it once. The Packers, the most recent year, they did it in 2010. You're not talking about the typical wild card, right? You're not talking about the 9-7 just barely get in. Maybe you win a road game, maybe you don't. Maybe you get out of the division round, maybe you don't. The teams that are usually vying for this thing, that are in conference titles, that are playing for championships, are usually the great teams that are great the whole time. Maybe there's an injury somewhere where you slip up and are 11-5 instead of 13-3 or 14-2. But for the most part, great teams win the greatest prize. There's an overwhelming percentage of those things. And the idea that lightning will simply strike because the Redskins bite at that apple, being the 12th out of 12 playoff teams, just in terms of power rankings, I just don't buy. And that's what they're banking on, is just to be just good enough. It's the same thing with the Wizards.
It's a good convo. It's one more quarterback to throw into the mix as we move ahead. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. Next, you and I yesterday tried to get into a story where a minor league ballpark is banning peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Cracker Jack.
We never got to that story because we got into a much longer debate on how to say Cracker Jack. But But now that we know the answer, we can actually discuss this. We will do it next. Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch on whether Virginia's out on a Redskins stadium. And Kyle Bearclaw, reliever with the Nationals, both coming up in the 1 o'clock hour on The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Looking forward to talking with Kyle Bearclaw today at 1:30. If you missed Devontae Smith-Pelly reciting the lyrics to the good old hockey song to try to get the jinx off of him as he's gone 31 games without a goal.
Get himself off the schneid.
You can listen to that at thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. Forever, when you've gone out to a ballpark, you have consumed ballpark food.
Of course you have.
That means eating a hot dog at some point. Putting a little mustard, a little ketchup on that hot dog, although some people will tell you that if you put ketchup on a hot dog, you're a jerk, and they're wrong.
That is correct.
It's just a delicious condiment like mustard that goes right on that hot dog.
Tomato water.
I enjoy, if I'm eating what I want to eat at a baseball game, French fries at some point, maybe some boardwalk fries.
Good, yeah.
I like a good chicken tender basket, you know, the standard stadium Aramark fare, something
absolutely
like that.
Absolutely.
The Nats have great, great tater tots. They've got a couple of spots I love. I don't know if they still do, but they have the chicken and biscuit stand down in section 214 and you know, along the third baseline. You ever hit that up? Virginia ham and biscuits?
Virginia ham and biscuits, yeah.
Oh, it's good.
It's good.
Our buddies that do the bread, the bread and water company are out there some days.
That's
you can
right.
Do that. I like getting popcorn, which is perfect. But synonymous with baseball has always been peanuts. As far back as I can remember, walking into Camden Yards in Baltimore, we'd park in this lot where you'd walk from under a big overpass. You'd go upstairs, you walk on the street, down this pathway to like the center field entrance. And there would be guys all over the place with megaphones. Pistachios, cashews, and peanuts here, $5. Pistachios, cashews, peanuts here, $5. My dad and I go over, or me and my buddy Joe, whoever I'm there with, we go over, we get our peanuts, we go in. I even found a vendor that was so good. What I liked was the guys that actually put the peanuts in these brown sandwich bags. So they, I don't know where they get their peanuts or how they get them, but they individually package them, small, medium, or large. And I had this deal with this guy where I'd come up to his peanut stand out in right field past Utah Street by the train tracks. True story, and I would go up to him. He's this old, grizzled dude,
sure.
Baltimore through and through. He's like, you want some peanut? And I'm like, all right, here's the deal. Melvin Moore is going to homer tonight. If he does, I'm getting free peanuts next time I come. No problem, fine. They're like $3, $5, whatever. So like three times in a row, I would call a Miguel Tejada homer, you know, Jeff Conine homer or something. I go back out, I get my peanuts for free the next game from that guy. What if you weren't allowed to eat peanuts at a ball game or Cracker Jack? Now, Thom's clapping because he's got a peanut allergy. There's a lot of people with peanut allergies, and apparently they're overrunning us because we're getting rid of peanuts. Here's the story from USAtoday.com. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. Not anymore at Dunkin' Donuts Park. This is Hartford, Connecticut, where the Yard Goats play. This is the AA affiliate of the Colorado Rockies.
Unreal.
In the Eastern League, I believe. Peanuts are one of the most common and deadliest allergies in the Americas at this point, especially among children, such as Henry Blakesley, 7, of Massachusetts. Baseball games are really challenging for someone with a nut allergy because everyone's throwing shells around, said his father, Ben. For my son, if he has any kind of contact, if he steps on a peanut and takes his shoe off, he could go into
anaphylaxis.
Okay, anaphylaxis shock. A lot of people think they have an EpiPen, so they'll be fine, but it's not enough. If the airways close, that's it for them. So this guy's kid, he says, if he even steps on a peanut shell, and then the next day when taking his shoes on or off, kind of touches that on his hand, and then his hand goes to his face, it could be curtains, he could die.
Why do you think I rub down the board over here every day? I'm not eating any sort of nuts, but other people do.
You're just making sure.
Right.
Because somebody's finger touches the thing, which touches that, yeah.
If it's that deadly that a 7-year-old kid could die going to a baseball game because a peanut shell might touch his shoe, if it's that deadly, then I'm surprised we haven't done something sooner. But I got to tell you, I need to be able to eat peanuts at a ball game, so we got to figure something out that works for everybody.
So a lot of people will dismiss it as not a thing, and that's wrong. I've got a friend who isn't one of these self-diagnosed gluten people, legitimately has celiac disease, meaning the body cannot process gluten.
Yeah, it's an actual disease.
For one of her children, the dad, toasted toast in the toaster oven. 2 weeks later, she put something in the toaster oven, then took a bite out of that and had to go to the hospital. Like, because, wow. Because just the whatever it was in the air.
Can you imagine,
was enough.
By
no,
the way?
I mean, you have to live your life.
That is terrifying.
Terrifying.
How do you live your life like that?
Tommy has
every
to deal.
Every moment could be your last moment.
Tommy has to deal with that every day, all day, all the time.
That's terrible.
My point is, it sucks for Tom. It sucks for my pal. Them's the breaks.
It's
tough. It's really hard.
No, I'm not saying that's tough for Tom. I'm saying that's a tough stance.
I can't wait
for the 2 week from now. Why isn't baseball growing conversation?
Because of peanut allergies?
Yeah, you're telling people not to come to the ballpark.
What I'm telling people is you have to do what you have to do to stay alive every day. You understand that. It's your mission to wipe. You absolutely should wipe down that board. You should wipe down everywhere.
Because I would be wiping so many things, Tom.
In my opinion, you probably don't wipe enough. I want to keep you safe. I want Tom to be here tomorrow.
Okay, but here is where I'm at. See, you're saying tough for Tom. You know, it's baseball, ballpark. You can't come out in public, lock yourself in your house, and never emerge again. And that's kind of your way of handling it. I need a section maybe where there's no peanuts. Or I need, in this area, we're not going to have any peanuts. Now, I can't help you if walking on the street there's a peanut shell. I can't do that. But I am willing to carve out, and I'm surprised we don't have it yet, areas of the ballpark that are peanut friendly or non-peanut friendly. Now, if you say, well, I don't get the same seats, I can't make all of your wishes come true.
I would sit in the upper deck outfield to make sure that I was safe. I would sit in the worst seats in Nats Park.
And I'll give you those tomorrow. But I need to be able to eat a peanut at a baseball game, too. And that's where I come in on this is it sounds like a jerk thing to say. But
I don't think it is.
That's part of the experience for a lot of people. Because there are certain people that are allergic doesn't mean no one gets to do it. But I need to be, just like Thom needs to be thoughtful of the fact that I want to eat peanuts and I should be allowed to, I need to be thoughtful of Thom and say, if he's in the ballpark, I need to not throw my peanut shells wherever they end up.
Let's obviously not be inhuman. And like, I'm not going to like, when Thom walks by, I'm not going to start throwing peanuts at the guy. You try to be as considerate as you can be, but there's a limit to that. So in other words, if a vegan is like, I can't be around meat, I'm going to a baseball game. Like, we're not banning meat.
No, but a vegan's not going to die if they eat meat.
No, I understand that. But you keep moving the line.
It
works fine. My point is, you can't start, because some people don't like it or can't deal with it, you can't get rid of it for everybody.
But again, it's not that people don't like it. This is
Grant.
This is your celiac's.
This is not a slippery
example.
Slope. This is not. No, it's not.
I don't think it is, honestly. I think this is an unsafe. There are people who are so allergic to peanuts that it could kill them. So if there's someone who's so allergic to beer that it could kill them, I don't think that's a thing.
But let's say there's a barley. You have a barley allergy and your throat closes up.
Yeah, if you're near beer or beer touches you, then there's probably needs to be a section where you can go without beer.
The issue remains, unless it's an extremely drunk person, there's not beer that's getting thrown onto the floor or onto the chairs. Like how people just casually sit there and go, oh, well, when I was here with my grandfather, I used to just throw peanut shells in the air. And that's how it used to be. That like it's everyone gets nostalgic about eating peanuts at a baseball game.
Right.
So they feel, well, you know, in 1945 at Griffith Stadium, I was able to just throw shells wherever I wanted. So they go and do it at Nats Park.
It's a great Phil Wood impression. My point, though, is I understand that it's not fair. It's not. There's nothing fair about it. There's nothing. It's not equitable. It sucks. It's really hard for Tommy. It's hard for this kid. It's hard for the probably thousands of young people or old people. Whoever's got an allergy.
So what's your solution then?
They have to deal with it. You can't expect the millions and millions and millions of the rest of us that don't have to worry about it. It's your condition.
Why not a section without peanuts?
I'm fine with that.
So that's a good solution.
But it's not enough. Like if one guy
it
comes,
it would have to be enough.
What I'm saying is, if it's this dire, where somebody has peanut dust on their hand, who touches a person, who ends up in that section, and that kid's dead, like, the person who's got the condition always has to deal with it. Is that fair? Of course it is.
Which I agree with. All I'm saying is I think we can move the needle a little bit here to the point where we try to accommodate people who are dealing with this. Like, we don't have to just say, your cross to bear, none of us care about you. We could say, okay, you know what? Let's be more careful with these peanut shells, where they're going to end up, what's going to happen, where you can get them, and where you can be avoiding peanuts in a ballpark. Joe's in Gaithersburg. What do you think of this minor league team saying no to peanuts, which I think is a terrible idea?
I totally disagree with you. There's no smoking in bars anymore. Bars are still crowded. Bars are still doing a great business.
Yeah.
But it was determined smoking's bad for a lot of people. Food allergies are real, and they're dangerous.
Yes.
You don't need peanuts. Bring cashews.
Well, cashews
someone's
can kill
Tom. Someone's allergic to those, too.
Yeah. Cashews will kill Tom, too.
Pistachios will take him out.
He's laughing. I mean, we're serious.
I mean, like, that's my point. I mean, it's the,
he's allergic to a lot of nuts.
It sucks. It's not fair. It's a bad lot in life to be dealt. You can't ask everyone else to be responsible for it, is my point. Because what I'm arguing against isn't a section. I'm arguing against banning peanuts.
Yes,
at
I am
a
too.
Game.
I'm saying don't ban peanuts from the ballpark. I think that's a mistake. But I do think that you've got to do something to help out people that are allergic to peanuts. Because the dude's right that just called in. You can't have people at risk of dying when they go to the game. Before this story, Tom and I talked about this like 2 years ago. We went to a game, I remember. And you were like, he was on edge or something. And I'm like, what is going on? He's like, the guy next to me is eating peanuts. And like,
no.
It was ruining your time.
I had to move because there was a guy sitting two seats down who was eating pistachios. And he was just throwing the shells like pretty much at my feet.
Yeah. Right.
Just not thinking about it.
It was like such, and I mean, dead serious, Tom's time was ruined. And it was because, not because you're being a lot to deal with. You're literally at risk at that moment.
You're in danger.
I was going to leave the game. I was just going to see you later, Grant, and go.
Yeah, but it was eye-opening.
But what people hear is Danny doesn't believe in food allergies. I literally gave you a case where I understand somebody that I'm friends with had to go to the hospital because there was toast in the same spot that she was 2 weeks later. I'm not denying they exist. Of course they exist. It's not just someone being whiny or a wussy. This is a real thing. What I am saying is it's your lot in life. You've got to deal with it.
What do you guys think? 800-636-1067. I'd be curious to get some calls on this. Peanuts at a ballpark being banned in the AA ranks in Hartford, Connecticut. So are Cracker Jack, by the way. What's bad about Cracker Jack?
There's a peanut in them.
Do they have peanut in them?
Yes.
Okay, that's how little I eat.
For every regular Cracker Jack morsel, the delicious popcorn, I'd say out of every, it's a 5 or 6 to 1 ratio.
They should ban Cracker Jack at ballpark because it tastes terrible.
I'm sure it does.
Peanuts are excellent.
I'm sure it's been around and it's timeless because it's bad.
800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.